Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue number 25.5. So, this is our 25th reviews episode, and we got a lot of them, and we cross over on a lot. So,
lots of people have lots. Cat has lots. A baby kitten pile.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's go ahead and get into things. What do you got for us first, Matt?
Well, I have Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man Annual number 1, because that is too many words. It's by Chip Zdarsky with art by Mike and Laura Allred. Love letter to J. Jonah Jameson, and anybody who's familiar with the Allred styles, it's definitely a throwback to, like, the 1960s art, and, yeah, it was just awesome. It was
you wearing a sweater vest? I think I saw a sweater vest.
Yeah, there was definitely Peter Parker in a sweater vest, because, you know, that's... That is the way Peter's supposed to be. But this is actually modern storyline. And there's a big reveal at the end of this about J. Jonah Jameson's personal character traits. And, yeah, it's really heartwarming and fun.
Is he still a dick?
No, it turns out he maybe is less of a dick than we actually thought.
Whoa, he actually cared? He really does care.
He actually cared.
He has a heart.
I don't want to spoil it, because I think it's a really cool little moment, and yeah, that's a really fun one. The other quick hit
is Ms. Marvel.
Nice. The other quick hit I have is Coda number 2. This just, I'm so intrigued by where this story is going, and the level of destruction that happened to this world before, before magic was a commodity, And the characters being introduced, while their names escape me, their personalities are just fantastic. Yeah, this is just a great, great comic book. I really recommend it to anybody who wants the irreverent fantasy, because this is not normal. So yeah, that's all I have for some quick hits, though.
I guess I'll go next, because I think I'm just going to spend like a minute talking crap. So Hawkman number 1. Hawkman came back. Woo! Nobody cares.
There's like at least 10 people who care.
All right, I'm sorry. The 10 people who care. I guess in all reality, if you like Hawkman, you'll like this. I have like a moot point with Hawkman because I don't. I think he's a tool. So he's this. This seems kind of like this is about to be like a little bit of a kind of like a martyr superhero story, because he's like, I don't understand really fundamentally me. I just know about my reincarnations. And I'm like, I mean, good writing. Cool. Thanks, dude. But at the same time, are you kidding me?
Who is writing the book? Because I know Hitch is doing the art.
Robert Vendetti?
Okay.
The art's cool. It also just made me think of, like, Indiana Jones as Hawkman.
Well, that's kind of cool. I mean, like, as a concept.
In the first issue. I don't necessarily know if it's continue like that, because from the sounds of it, he finds out that apparently he's not just been reincarnated on Earth, he's been reincarnated all over the place. Like, he's been reincarnated as a Kryptonian, he's been reincarnated as a Thanagarian, and I'm just like...
Oh.
I mean, it's an interesting... I just don't care about Hawkman. If they did this with Hawkgirl, then... Oh, yeah! Let's do this! Hell yeah! This is great! No, it's not Hawkgirl. It's Hawkman. And he's... I don't know. I think... Meh. If you like Hawkman, you will probably enjoy this. I could give two shits less about Hawkman and his past and what it all means, because there's some impending doom that only he can stop. And I'm like... He's... King Hawkman.
Hey, man. He's, like, got wings.
He's got such a...
Yeah, he drank a Red Bull.
Yeah.
Red Bull gave us money. <All right.
laughs> Shakes. All right, Pat, what do you got?
So, as far as things that nobody else read, I just have Hit Girl number 5. I just picked this up. I read Hit Girl number 1, but it looks like this is a new creative team they have on the book.
I think they're going to start doing a continuous series with Hit Girl.
Yeah, it looks like they're just doing like 4-part mini series with different like creative teams. At least that's what I'm getting from this. So this is Jeff Lemire writing it with art by Eduardo Risso. And this is Canada, part 1 of 4. So we get...
my God, please be making fun of Canada.
Well, we get Hit Girl goes to the far north to basically track someone down and kill them. And we get it's just classic Hit Girl. Great issue. It starts out with her, like, about to, like, saw her leg off in a bear trap, and then it flashes back.
Jesus.
While she's, like, yeah, goes into a bar, like, the biker bar. It has, like, the best scene, and she's like, give me a root beer and a straw. Nice. And then, like, all the bikers are like, what are you doing in here? She's like, I'm looking for so-and-so. And they're like, you better back off, and just smashes the root beer bottle. And just, like, stabs the guy right in the neck. Of course, kills someone with a hockey stick.
Oh, yes.
Steals a snowmobile.
Let's not wait for another issue for that gag. Just put it in the first
Yeah, exactly. Just right off the bat. Yeah, it was great. She gets to, like, she's going, like, super far north into Canada. And she's like, how do I get here? And they're like, where's the bus I take to go up there? And these two old women are like, oh, you really are from the city. There's no buses up here. That's and awesome. Then, yeah, some
artwork cool looks stuff. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's really great artwork in general, and yeah, really cool stuff. So I'm excited to see. I kind of fell off with the last arc of Hit Girl, so we'll see.
I don't know. I hit a point where I'm like, I think this much carnage. I think of, is there a story or is there just more blood?
Yeah, well, so far this story, it's both in this one, and it's really good. So I'd recommend giving this one a new shot. So,
do you want to just roll right into Marvel Rising?
Yeah, you wanna mention that real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
So I read Marvel Rising.
Alpha number one?
Yeah, this is Alpha number one. With written by Devin Grayson and art by Georges Duarte. So obviously I read Marvel Rising,
right?
Because Squirrel Girl and Miss Marvel are basically my lifeblood. And so I believe this is either a 3 or 4 part series that has...
You are looking at the wrong person.
I know, I'm not. I'm just looking at you because there's only 3 people in this room.
I'll buy you a mirror.
No, please don't. And I don't want to look at me. So I believe it's either a 3 or 4 part series of one shots that are all done with different creative teams. So I know there's Marvel Rising. This is number one, Alpha. Then there's Ms. Marvel / Squirrel Girl is next month.
Okay.
And that'll be written by Ryan North and G. Willow Wilson.
Which should be awesome.
Yeah, which should be absolutely awesome. And then I know there's an Omega. I'm not sure if there's another one that I'm missing. So these are all leading up to, it's going to be a feature-length animated movie later this year, Marvel Rising.
I got to tell you, I had a blast with this issue.
Yeah.
I thought it was a ton of fun.
Oh,
it looks
man.
Like it's kid-friendly, too.
It is totally kid-friendly.
Oh, it's very kid-friendly. Yeah, no, it was great. It was an absolute blast.
It was a bit of a swerve because it was like, hey, let's introduce this character that they're going to mentor and is going to be a superhero. And it's like, nope, we're not going to do that.
Oh, yeah,
not this time.
Super villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome video game powers.
Yeah, I know, right? So. She has really, like...
Is there 8-bit music playing in the background? You see, like, little notes?
No, in my head, maybe. But.
Yeah, she basically has, like, the power to ostensibly, like, pull any character or artifact from like the digital world or whatever.
Yeah. She has, like, can go to the internet.
She has like neck, you know, bringing like Donkey Kong out.
Yeah.
And then like giving herself like that awesome sweet armor. In
yeah,
the end.
It was just really cool. Like, I think we need more fun in comics mm-hmm. a lot of the time. There's too much that's like dark and gloomy and
well, it'd be yeah. nice to kind of. I'm not gonna lie. I already know the world sucks. I also don't need to reread it in a comic.
Right?
Or like the 3-panel bit here where Squirrel Girl like does the video game jump over like a trash can.
Yep. Yeah. Does the Donkey Kong jump?
Yeah. Oh man, that was great. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun. I'm really excited to read next issue.
Yeah, I me too. I really enjoyed that. All right, well, I'm going to talk about Just Us League number 2.
What?
The Justice League number 2, written by Scott Snyder with art by Jorge Jimenez. who is like.
All right,
that,
like, I got so excited.
Let's calm down. You're getting phlegm all
over
the mic.
I know. just spit on everyone's comments.
He is one of the great new artists. I absolutely love his work. But yeah, this was. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Scott Snyder does not fucking care what you know. If you don't know the answer to the questions, then it is your damn fault, and you go read something else.
He's like, you know Google, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, you want to go to Wikipedia to learn some stuff? Go for it, because I'm not going to tell you. Yeah, this is nuts. This is what happens when somebody who watched the Justice League animated series becomes an adult and starts writing comics, and is like, oh yeah, all these crazy things happen, and you're like, all right, I guess I'm cool with a car that can travel through the Speed Force. Like, all right, cool. Yeah, this is just crazy candy comic books, you know, dealing with a major event.
I enjoy the fact that Wonder Woman has a fucking cape.
I do, too. I love the superhero-ness of it. I also like the fact that you got Martian Manhunter and Superman in, like, armor, you know,
yeah, right.
going through a
entity. Who don't ever need armor.
Right. This introduces the Ultraviolet Lanterns.
Yeah, that shit's... I don't know how close... I mean, obviously, knowing you, you probably saw pretty closely, but their ring isn't a ring, and it looks like... That's...
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing, is whatever comes in this next issue, like, I hope it explains the ultraviolet light.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff in this. I mean, like, it is. This is, like... This is cartoon logic in comic book form, where it's just like, yeah, stuff happens. Cool.
Yeah.
You'll get there.
As long as it's introduced well.
As somebody who doesn't smoke weed or do any form of really anything, I'm like, I think I need to smoke weed to get this.
It's crazy. Like, and, you know, he goes into sort of science speak with stuff, right. And it takes multiple reads. This is not easy comic books. This is adventure stories. The bad guy is a mustache-twiddling version of Lex Luthor. I mean, like, he's just bad. Like, there's not good character motivation. He's like, no, I think I'm going to do good things, but I'm bad.
Well, the thing is, in the last, what was it, No Justice one,
mm-hmm.
he already came to that conclusion. So Scott Snyder's like, you already know about that. Let's keep moving.
Yep. And that's it. It's moving.
Yeah.
John Stewart is great, you know, and there's a lot of moments of heart that you read into.
He's great, and then he... busts into the Justice League headquarters, and Wonder Woman looks like she's about to beat some fucking ass.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that their reasoning for needing John was legitimate. Like, no, we don't want Hal in this. We need you. We need your specific skill set.
Which I didn't really Google last night, because I was falling asleep on my couch as I was reading. Yeah. So I didn't actually really know what was going on with them, but it said it gave you hints and pieces that something happened between them pretty badly.
Yeah.
So
something happened with the core that mm-hmm. John takes responsibility for, but mm-hmm. you know, the Justice League knows that shit happens sometimes. So absolutely great issue. I'm gonna keep reading this book. It's tough, though. It's not a quick or easy read.
No it's not. If you try to do so, don't. Things only get more confusing.
Well, Kat, what else do you have for us?
The other two that I have before we get into weird things is the Man of Steel 3 and 4, because they're just weekly issues, which I don't know how many people don't know that or do know that. Thank you, Brian. Or thank you, Bendez. Just thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for existing and for writing Superman, because I have been bitching and complaining about a Superman story, just Superman, for a while.
Yeah.
I got that, but at the same time, Lois and John still exist in it, but just a Superman. It's still just a Superman story.
It's interesting, too, because it centers so heavily on the absence of John and Lois,
mm-hmm.
that, like, they're a central element of the story without actually being present.
Yep.
I also really think that Bendis gets how to write Superman. It's one of the things that makes Superman interesting.
Which is really, really interesting considering all the stuff that he's written.
Yeah, you need to get inside of Superman's head and sort of show the audience how Superman thinks, because you're talking about a being who's on a higher plane of existence, essentially, and to just show things doesn't always work. This is one of those instances where telling is part of the showing.
I think, honestly, the other part of it is, too, is he's got the, I think, I don't know, I haven't really been reading Superman very much until Bendis showed up. because I don't think anyone really ever got that they're like, you're inside the head of a higher being who thinks he's a man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a regular earthling.
Right, who references, like, he's like, okay, now I need to think like Batman. It's like, wait a minute, you know, he's referencing a human as his, his point to...
As someone better than him.
Right, so to use their style of...
He's got it on point, and I was actually curious what he was going to do and see how much he was going to flip it on his head, and dude's got him. God, inside what Superman's head should be like,
and
pretty well.
The fourth issue, I think, is the strongest of the series thus far, is a positive thing because a lot of times you talk about losing steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other aspect of that I really enjoy is the fact that they're taking their time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though this is a weekly series, it feels well paced.
I'm pretty sure, even from you, kind of speculating the fact that you think in those six issues, like, this storyline will be done in those six
issues. I think we're going to get the full story of Rogue Alzar, and that's going to be it.
And it leaves you with one, I'm not going to destroy the ending. It's a pun if you read it.
Yeah.
It's really good. Like, I was honestly, I didn't think I would enjoy this as much as I thought I was going to. And the fact is you're still trying to, you get some questions answered about, like, what happens to John and Lois. And, lo and behold, somebody's daddy comes back.
Yep.
And that's what happens, but you don't understand why any of this has happened still. So, it's going to be interesting, and I am really excited for Action Comics and Superman, so...
Me too.
I'm curious what they're going to do with this.
Patrick,
turn.
I guess let's do a quick hit on Thor.
Well, let's not do a quick hit.
Not a quick hit.
No one can see me walking around right now with the round one sign, but it's happening.
Okay, so this is the new Thor number one.
Legacy number 707.
Legacy number 707 with...
I feel like Marvel's kicking themselves right now because Superman made it to 1,000 and they're like, shit.
Yeah.
We need to get there.
Soon with someone. Right. So this is, it'll probably be Thor, I guess. I think he has the highest legacy.
I don't know.
Number. Either that or Captain America.
Maybe Captain America.
I think Captain America came first. I can Google while you guys discuss.
I was just thinking about, like, legacy numbering.
I think it's Captain America.
We're going to have to go to the wall after this and check it out. Anyway, so this is script by Jason Aaron with art by Mike Del Mundo and Christian Ward. There's two stories in here, so each of the artists illustrate one of the different stories. I was not personally a fan of this. Honestly, I was bored. It was an extra long issue, and I was just bored for like the whole time. It took me so long to read this. And I've been keeping up with at least the previous Thor, the Mighty Thor, and now that she's gone, I personally have no emotional connection to Odinson Thor.
See, so. And I have the complete opposite perspective of that, where I think this was as close to a perfect singular issue, the main story, was than I could have asked for. You're dealing with the Odin son, who is not worthy, and he is still dealing with his unworthiness, and there is an element of the Thor Ragnarok aesthetic and the idea of playing with, you know, kind of the over-the-top nature of comic books, because Mike Del Mundo's art has to be talked about. This is not... I haven't had the pleasure of reading a Mike Del Mundo book until this, and it is unbelievable. It is so beautiful, and the use of cartooning in the books, where like the onomatopoeia is part of the art, the characters, when they get punched in the face, they see stars, and they're these crazy star patterns, and the use of whipping lines. It is cartooned, but not in a way that I've seen before. Like it's all digital paint, and it's...
I'm starting to think
it's
that
gorgeous.
Thor might actually have a bigger legacy number.
No, that's cool. Well, there's also the bit with the hammers, like that. Because of his unworthiness, he can't. There's no Mjolnir. There's not a hammer that's at that level that he can really pretend to be the God of Thunder, because right now he's kind of, he's weak. He's not the character that he should be. There's a nice sweet moment with Jane, I think, too, where he's like, I'm sorry, are you cured? Then go over here. Yeah. You know, utilizing the fact that he wants her to be back to normal and hopes that he, you know, that she can be.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good relationship stuff in this. The backup story was fun and really confusing. I don't really know what was going on, like, too much about the sharks and then Wolverine being, like, the oldest person in the universe. And
yeah.
He's got the Phoenix Force attached to him, so.
What? That was just, that's
like
too much, man.
I feel like any time Wolverine enters anything, we just all get upset and are like, no!
Yeah. I'm less upset because Jason Aaron is handling it, so I understand that, like, mm-hmm. he's got the big picture in mind. And also the shark imagery in both of these stories was kind of hilarious. Thorry.
Yeah,
eating the shark. Yeah,
sorry. Yeah,
yeah. There's a. I loved this book. I think it was fully self-contained. I do. You know, I like Jane Foster quite a bit, so I hope she sticks around. And based on the previous issue that deals with the future, the Goddesses of Thunder,
mm-hmm.
that Jane will have an integral part in the finale of whatever Jason Aaron's giant run is. So,
yeah.
Well, I love this. To me, this was a great jumping on point, too. Like, you didn't have to read any of the previous stuff to be like, okay, I understand things happened before and that Jane is no longer...
Yeah, that's Thor. True. If you're looking for a place to jump into Thor, this is a good...
They also...
Definitely a good jumping in point.
They all reference the Ten Realms, which I thought was confused, but I had a conversation with a customer about the fact that, like, the realm of the angels has been hidden, like the realm that Angela's from. So that is the Tenth Realm. But that's something that I guess Jason Aaron has dealt with earlier in the stories. That was something I just didn't... I was like, oh, I'm confused. So
Yeah, even though it would be a good jumping on point for some people, I think it might be a jumping off point for me.
To each his own, right?
Yeah.
Like that's the thing about comics.
Yep. Well, what about you, Kat? What's your this time?
So weird thing that I guess I'm going to do right now is going to be the fact that I'm going to talk about a book series that I've been reading for the last little while.
Do you guys mind if we hold off on that just one sec and do a get through all the rest of the comic stuff before we get into long form reviews?
Oh, okay, yeah. You guys both have some big books.
Yeah, I got some big books. We're gonna talk about Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, you wanna do a quick hit on that one?
Yeah.
You know what? This series has been just continuing to be awesome, and I was telling that before we started recording. I think my favorite part of this issue is so this is basically Mr. Miracle and
Kalibak.
Who?
Kalibak.
Oh, Kalibak. Yeah, that's right. It just, I don't know.
What doesn't roll off the tongue easily.
They're basically discussing.
No, I
think
you just spit on me.
Again, I keep spitting today.
They're basically discussing like terms.
Terms of surrender,
terms of
I guess?
Surrender, or like trying to end the war, basically. And they're discussing it at a table, and the table is basically held off the ground by slaves that are chained by their necks to the floor that are holding the table on their backs.
Yeah.
This book get any darker?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
And Tom King just comes strolling out
it's such a minor detail, too. It's, like, hardly even referenced except on one page when Kalibak, like, grabs a slave out from under the table and just, like, chucks him against the wall.
Pretty messed up stuff.
Yeah, when he gets really pissed.
La, 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 la.
We won't spoil the end of this issue, but
and that was a crazy...
Darkseid's alternate terms?
Yeah, Darkseid has terms of his own that he delivers.
Yeah.
Which is very, that was crazy. I'm really interested to see where this goes.
Yeah.
So, yep, Mr. Miracle. Tom King, doing great with this.
We love you, Tom.
Uh-huh, I already told you that. You know, last weekend, but,
I swear I'm a lot cooler than I seem.
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's talk about Magic Order real quick.
Yeah, you want to talk about Magic Order?
Yeah, so we got Magic Order number one. This is the first of the Netflix, Miller World comic books. It's written by Mark Miller with art by Olivier Coipel. I have been saying this a lot. A lot of storytellers have been trying to do Harry Potter after they graduate. you know, and like, what is the magical world like in adulthood? And I think finally somebody's captured it. And the answer is it's fucked up. When you have people with this high level of power that, okay, see, opening sequence, I'm going to spoil this straight up. The opening sequence is two wizards discussing killing a third wizard, and the way that they do that is they use a conjuring spell to get in the mind of the wizard's son, who then crawls up into bed after post-coitus and stabs his father through the face underneath the jaw.
Yeah. Right, it's not really spoiling anything because it happens in, like, the first three pages.
Yeah, yeah. And that sets you the tone for what this book is. It's a, you know, broken down wizards and somebody, our Voldemort-type character, seems to be... It's sort of a Watchmen angle, it feels like. It's like killing the other high-level wizards, you know, like somebody who's going through in power. There's really, like, subtlety to the art. Like, characters look different from one another. There's familial traits that you see in characters. This is just... To me, I was blown away by this book. I was blown away by the spell at the end where the characters get caught.
Changing spell.
Yeah, caught in the changing spell and, like, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
It's creepy as fuck, too.
Like, yeah. You know, I have to say I approached this... You were talking it up. Mm-hmm. When it came out, and I approached it actually with a little bit of skepticism, actually, for the exact reason that you were like, oh, it's like the adult version of Harry Potter, because I personally, like, I tried to get into, like, a couple series like that, like The Magicians, or...
There's a book called Maestros, like, that existed.
Yeah, Maestros, or, like, Mr. Norrell, and Dr... whatever.
Doctor whatever.
So there is, like, some more, like, dark, pulpy sort of magic things. And I actually got kind of burned out on those. So, like, I saw that this was kind of going along that strain, and I was like, all right, well, we'll see where this one goes. But I think I agree with you. I think this was really good, and I'm really interested to see where it goes.
Did you pick up on, like, the Watchmen-type angle? Like, where it feels like there's some sort
where it's, you know, there's the one guy who's going around, and I think there's someone out there killing magicians, and there is some, you know, it basically opens the same way as Watchmen. You get the people, an unknown assailant murdering a wizard or a superhero, and then it goes back and, you know, they have the funeral and everything, and...
So, there was a criticism that, one of my coworkers had said that it felt like it was, like, the magic was too high level, and it was not a good, like, entry point because of that. Like, the magic was so expansive, and it was almost super heroic, and I don't know, I like super heroic stuff, so I guess I could see that point.
I'm just like, you're talking to the wrong person at that point.
Yeah, I don't know, I was very, very much impressed by this issue.
Yeah, I think that is something that so far, since we are only one issue in at this point, I have no reason to lift my suspension of disbelief about, but I actually was thinking something along the similar lines, in that, like, they are, like, such high-level wizards that, like, what's really, like... Because with magic, like, it's something where there's no, like, set limit. Like,
where's the cap?
Yeah, exactly. As the author, you have to... If you're going to write in magic, you can't just write in magic, because... What if you want to have, like, a bright situation where you can do anything in the world with your magic wand or something? Or, like, you know, at what point can you not wish anything? Do you get an infinity gauntlet? Like,
right. Yeah, like, what is too high?
Or, like, can you just do, like, illusions or whatever?
I have to say, like, the idea of what do you do when you're past magic school? Oh, you actually become a performance magician, you know, like a stage magician. I was like, that's cheeky, like to actually have that be, you know, a family job, that, you know, the magicians.
Yeah, exactly.
The magician.
But really, like, they're
how
doing,
do they do it?
Magic.
Yeah, actual, like, magic. Are
you kidding me? Her shot was terrible. She hit me in the chest. Thanks for Kevlar.
Yeah.
It's like, what? So, yeah. Anyway, great. For me, a great first issue.
Yeah, no, it was good. So, we'll see how it goes.
Cool. I think, Patrick, you're the only one with any more singular issues if you wanted to talk about Isola at all, or...
No, I'm still actually a bit behind on Isola. The only last one I have to talk about is Brave and the Bold.
Cover your ears, cat.
And,
we won't go into spoilers, but...
Don't go into spoilers.
Yeah, there's a lot of... So this is 5 of 6, Liam Sharp scripts and art. Yeah, there's a lot of spoilers in this of, like, the case, the mystery that Batman is on, right now. So I don't want to, like, spoil anything.
Please don't.
Too much, per se. You know, so, like, I'll just say, like, an arm gets cut off. There's a guy's brother.
There's some questions that are answered.
Other questions that are asked.
And it's gorgeous.
Wonder Woman rides a horse. Oh yeah, and it's freaking beautiful. I was really
Wonder Woman rides a horse. Am I like,
yeah.
God, Patrick? Spoilers.
I know, seriously. I think I really want to say, like, the main thing that I noticed it before, but it just really, for some reason, stuck out to me in this issue, is using, like, the way he separates panels and, like, makes the gutter into art.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful for this book. Like, there's a couple 9-page panels here or 9-panel pages where the gutter is this interconnected knot that weaves through it and separates them like that. And that's just, it's just, like, the attention to detail is so, God, we talk about it all the time.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I remember the first issue. I think my only complaint was the fact that it's so pretty, I had a hard time reading.
The art is distracting. It's so good.
I'm so distracted.
It's definitely a book that deserves multiple passes.
Yeah, right, definitely. Totally. Yeah, like at least one for an art read, and then one for a read, a word read.
Do you have anything else, Pat? Or?
No, honestly, that's it for me. I'm done.
I'm going to do a sort of a long form review here. I'll try to keep it tight, but I'm going to talk about Batman: The Dark Prince Charming, number 2 of 2. It's by Enrico Marini. Dark Prince Charming number 1 was my favorite graphic novel.
I have to say, it's like one of the creepiest Jokers I've seen on the cover.
So good, the Italian clown.
Yeah, right.
It was fantastic. It was a great, you know, mystery is solved. Wink at the audience a little bit. We talked a lot about how White Knight was a reflection of the different pop culture versions of Batman. Mm-hmm. This is as well, and it's pulling those contexts and adding that brutality that we see, especially in, like, the Batman v Superman, you know, the DCEU version of the character,
mm-hmm.
where there's a little bit more disregard. Batman's a lot sexier than he is in other books.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, sexy Joker there.
Are his lips as sexy as
They're not Liam as sexy as Liam Sharp's lips. But,
okay, yeah, he has, oh man.
But
yeah.
his 5 o'clock shadow is on point.
It's true.
And his hoodie, you know, he's rocking the Jedi look. also, Catwoman in this is just phenomenal. There is a lot of, I wish this was adapted to, you know, of some sort of a TV series. Like I said, I call this Netflix's Batman, and I very much feel this way, where there's, you know, push the violence up just a notch. You don't need super explanations for things. The world exists. This is the Batman that we know, that we've, you know, gotten from different media, just somebody else's view of this character. And it, when I got to the end of this and there was you can call it a reveal, it's going to be one of those things where everybody can read into it what they want to about the daughter character in this story. And I put the book down and went, why are so many of the big publishers dedicated to long continuities? I had more joy reading this, more joy reading White Knight than oftentimes I do with any of the long form Batman stories. I do like what Tom King is doing, but if Tom King gave me 6 issues a year, or 12 issues a year would be even better, just the monthly title, but it was just whatever story Tom King wanted to tell with Batman, and he could do his own versions of each of the characters. Because I don't know that I feel like I'm tied to the continuity. I feel like I'm moving in the other direction.
I think in general, and I've been saying this like for a while now, that comics especially are like, especially for literature, are the last bastion of short stories. Collections of short stories, and short stories don't really sell in general anymore, like just in the quote-unquote literary world. But in the world of comics, it's an entire genre that's based on for the most part.
I feel like in the literary world there are a lot of things dying off too.
But then that's what I'm saying, and that's what Nat's saying too, is then comics lends itself so beautifully to continuing on the like vein of short stories.
I think part of the discussion too with readers is we get too lost in like what came before and who cares.
Like, yeah, that's the hard part. That's the one thing I will say as someone who's only been reading comics for a few years now. It's super difficult when it's like, this series has been going on for years, and they reference some, like, something that's, like, minutely small in some other universe, but if you've been reading comics for years and years and years, you'll get it.
Well, here's the problem. Does it make it worse that you don't know the answer to that, or, like, know that piece of minutia, or is that better, or is it just an extra piece for the person who does?
An extra piece for a person who does, but when you have someone who's like, oh my god, how do I get into comics? They've been going on for years and years and years. Yeah. I'm not going to understand this. And that's
why new readers gravitate to Image. Mm-hmm. So I know we're getting into a different sort of discussion. Yeah, but I think it's part of...
It's an important part to this, because in all reality, like, it's not like comics have always had the best going of luck as of late too. So,
well, you look at something like, okay, like I know we just talked about Brave and the Bold briefly. You just need to know who Wonder Woman is and who Batman is, but that could be from any part of the media. You're going to get the two characters well enough to just read this book and go into it. Even though that's the rebirth version of Wonder Woman, that's the rebirth version of Batman. Yeah. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
They're at the core.
So
those two
characters. I think from what, just my understanding from what you're saying, you want more stories, not necessarily stories based on
continuity. I don't need giant continuity. I just need...
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm looking at my stack of stuff I reviewed this week, and 4 out of the 7 of the comics I talked about are all miniseries.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those are the best
ones.
Those are usually
the ones that we enjoy the most.
Marvel Rising.
Right. You can argue that the Thor book is Jason Aaron's continuity.
Yep.
You don't need the rest of the Marvel universe to be reading that.
No, that's true. But even now, Jason Aaron's continuity is getting into that phase where
it's almost like his Game of Thrones. You know, he has the one long form epic he wants to tell. But ultimately, you could read that by itself and it would be its own thing.
Yeah, you don't really need to know the rest of the Marvel universe at all. Just the Aaron verse.
Yeah, so with my end to that deep conversation, Kat's going to do something a little different.
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk about a book series that I've kind of been reading for, like, the last couple of years, but I haven't really...
You mean the ones without the pictures?
Yeah, the ones without the pictures, those things, with just the print.
What?
Words.
Excuse me, just hold up.
Only the narration bubbles.
Yeah, only the... Yeah. That's what this is, how did you know? So, they're for young adult readers, but I think I honestly really enjoyed them. You know me, I like Disney a little bit. I don't have tattoos on my body or anything from Disney. None. So it's called Twisted Tales, and basically all this really is reimagined, kind of like out of continuity per se, with several different Disney timelines. The first one's A Whole New World, which is if Jafar had gotten a lamp originally.
Ooh, okay.
Once Upon a Dream, if Sleeping Beauty never woke up when the prince kissed her. Number 3 is A Tale as Old as Time, which is what if Belle's mother cursed the beast? So she was actually the fairy who cursed him originally.
Oh.
And then the last one was Reflection, which is a different author. So the first three books were by Liz Braswell, and I enjoy her writing style quite a bit, actually. And usually when I read, I don't necessarily read for deep thinking, because at this point, that's what my comic's for, apparently, which is hilarious.
That's awesome.
But the last one is Reflection, which is if Mulan had to travel to the underworld. So, and we're talking, like, Chinese underworld. So, like, had, was it Chan Yu stabbed, not Mulan, but instead Captain Li, and he died. And she's trying to go recover him from Dai Yu, I think it is how it's pronounced. It was written by Elizabeth Lim, and I'm pretty sure it's because Liz Braswell has no idea about Chinese mythology whatsoever, so I can't say I disagree with their choice.
Right.
All of them so far, I've actually liked them all quite a bit, and I'd have to say the one I found most interesting so far has been, which Sleeping Beauty is my favorite one, so you would think maybe the Sleeping Beauty one would be my favorite. No, it was actually the last one that I read for Mulan. It was really interesting because they're talking about so much different Chinese mythology that I never understood. But I mean, it's all of these ones where it's like these what, and they actually get pretty dark, like ridiculously dark. I was actually a little surprised by some of them.
Although this was a book series, could they just stand alone? Like, could you
yes,
just read
totally.
One?
You okay. can only you don't even have to read them in order. You could read the Mulan one first, and it won't matter. They're okay. all just their own stories. They're just saying, hey, if this happened in this Disney story, what would happen? And I'm that little freak that loves all the old, like, the old fairy tales. And
Disney fan fiction that becomes a giant yeah. series.
So, and it's really interesting. The new one that they're going to come out with in September that I will review is going to be if Ariel actually lost to Ursula, and she's been ruling Eric's kingdom for the last 5 years. And she's still missing her voice, and I'm like, I'm in, I'm game, take my money. So
I can't help think I want these in comic book form.
I know, yeah. I'm just like sitting here and I'm like, God, if they did this in
or like a mini series
or a graphic novel, but honestly,
I'd hour long episodes.
It's me
like
personally,
each...
considering how much I love Disney. I think even if you don't like Disney, everybody's seen all the old Disney movies. They've seen Aladdin. They've seen Sleeping Beauty.
Part of the cultural zeitgeist,
yeah,
at least to know something about
I would totally recommend these, and they're not hard reads. They're young adult reads.
Yeah.
So I read through them, honestly, if I had a day to just read them, I would probably finish one every day. So they're pretty good, and they're called Twisted Tales for a reason. They get twisted, man. Like, for young adult readers, I was kind of surprised. So,
nice.
I will say, read them, worth your time. A Tale as Old as Time. That one gets interesting because it's fairy folk live among them.
Oh!
It's, and you learn about Belle's past. It's really good. Just read them, honestly, I would say. They're worth
nice.
Your time. So.
Yes. Well, we went in kind of left field directions today, but I think it was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, in general. All right, well,
yeah.
Since nobody has anything else,
I don't think so.
I guess we gotta say goodbye then.
Yeah, right.
Bye.
Bye.